Welcome to day 79 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and I'm so glad that you've decided to join me today. We are embarking today on chapters 28 and 29 in the book of Deuteronomy, and we will be reading from the Amplified Bible. This particular portion of Scripture is quite fascinating because in it you will hear of the blessings and the curses that the Lord pronounced upon his people Israel for in the case of them obeying the Lord, the blessings that would flow in their life. And you can see what God's heart is for his people in blessing them in every area of life. And then secondarily, in the second part of Deuteronomy 28, we see the curses that are pronounced for those who refuse to listen and obey the Lord. So we will comment about this subject at the end during our devotional time, but listen carefully and consider, are you experiencing the blessings that are described here in Deuteronomy 28, or are you struggling with the curses that are described also in this chapter? Let's listen carefully and then allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you regarding these matters. Beginning at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. If you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your beasts, the increase of your cattle and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouse and in all that you undertake, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name and in the presence of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity through the fruit of your body, of your livestock, and of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain of your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head, and not the tail. And you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and are watchful to do them, and you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, of your land, of the increase of your cattle, and the young of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall send you curses, confusion, and rebuke in every enterprise to which you set your hand, until you are destroyed, perishing quickly because of the evil of your doings by which you have forsaken me, Moses and God as one. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land into which you go to possess. The Lord will smite you with consumption, with fever and inflammation, fiery heat, sword and drought, blasting and mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. The heavens over your head shall be brass, and the earth under you shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of your land powdered soil and dust. From the heavens it shall come down upon you until you are destroyed. The Lord shall cause you to be struck down before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be tossed to and fro and be a terror among all the kingdoms of the earth. And your dead body shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and there shall be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt and the tumors, the scurvy and the itch, from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness and blindness and dismay of mind and heart, and you shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. And you shall be only oppressed and robbed continually, and there shall be no one to save you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but not gather its grapes. Your ox shall be slain before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away before your face and not restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have no one to help you. Your sons and daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day, and there shall be no power in your hands to prevent it. A nation which you have not known shall eat up the fruit of your land and of all your labors, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually, so that you shall be driven mad by the sights which your eyes shall see. The Lord will smite you on the knees and on the legs with a sore boil that cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. The Lord shall bring you and your king, whom you have set over you, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall be forced to serve other gods of wood and stone. And you shall become an amazement, a proverb, and a byword among all the peoples to which the Lord will lead you. You shall carry much seed out into the field and shall gather little in, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourselves with the oil, for your olive trees will drop their fruit. You shall beget sons and daughters, but shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All your trees and the fruit of your ground shall the locust possess. The transient stranger among you shall mount up higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. All these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. They shall be upon you for a sign of warning to other nations, and for a wonder, and upon your descendants forever. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of mind and heart, in gratitude for the abundance of all with which he had blessed you, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord shall send against you, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and in want of all things. And he will put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you shall not understand, a nation of unyielding countenance who will not regard the person of the old or show favor to the young, and shall eat the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your ground until you are destroyed. Who also shall not leave you grain, new wine, oil, the increase of your cattle, or the young of your sheep until they have caused you to perish. They shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted come down throughout all your land. And they shall besiege you in all your towns throughout all your land which the Lord your God has given you. And you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and in the pressing misery with which your enemies shall distress you. The man who is most tender among you and extremely particular and well-bred, his eye shall be cruel and grudging of food toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward those of his children still remaining, so that he will not give to any of them, any of the flesh of his children, which he is eating, because he has nothing left to him in the siege and in the distress with which your enemies shall distress you in all your towns. The most tender and daintily bred woman among you, who would not venture to set the sole of her foot upon the ground because she's so dainty and kind, will grudge to the husband of her bosom, to her son and to her daughter, her afterbirth that comes out from her body and the children whom she shall bear. For she will eat them secretly for want of anything else in the siege and distress with which your enemies shall distress you in your towns. If you will not be watchful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may reverently fear this glorious and fearful name and presence, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary strokes and blows, great plagues of long continuance, and grievous sicknesses of long duration. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every affliction which is not written in this book of the law, the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you had been as the stars of the heavens for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice to bring ruin upon you and to destroy you. And you shall be plucked from the land into which you go to possess. And the Lord shall scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other. And there you shall be forced to serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. And among these nations you shall find no ease, and there shall be no rest for the sole of your foot. But the Lord will give you there a trembling heart, failing of eyes from disappointment of hope, fainting of mind, and languishing of spirit. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. Day and night you shall be worried, and have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, "Would that it were evening." And at evening you shall say, "Would that it were morning." Because of the anxiety and dread of your minds and hearts, and the sights which you shall see with your own eyes. And the Lord shall bring you into Egypt again with ships by way about which I said to you, you shall never see it again. And there you shall be sold to your enemies as bondmen and bondwomen, but no man shall buy you. Chapter 29. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the Israelites in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Moses called to all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, to all his servants, and to all his land, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a mind and a heart to understand, and eyes to see and ears to hear to this day. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out upon you, and your sandals have not worn off your feet. You have not eaten grain bread, nor have you drunk wine nor strong drink, that you might recognize and know your dependence on him who is saying, 'I am the Lord your God.' And when you came to this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us to battle, but we defeated them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manassites. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may deal wisely and prosper in all that you do. All of you stand today before the Lord your God, your heads, your tribes, your elders, and your officers, even all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the stranger and sojourner in your camp, from the hewer of your wood to the drawer of your water, that you may enter into the covenant of the Lord your God and into his oath which he makes with you today, that he may establish you this day as a people for himself, and that he may be to you a God, as he has said to you, and as he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is not with you only that I make this sworn covenant, but with future Israelites who do not stand here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with those who are here with us this day. You know how we lived in the land of Egypt and how we came through the midst of the nations you crossed. And you have seen their abominations and their idols of wood and stone, of silver and gold, which were among them. Beware, lest there should be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose mind and heart turns away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a poisonous root that bears gall and wormwood. And lest when he hears the words of this curse and oath, he flatters and congratulates himself in his mind and heart, saying, 'I shall have peace and safety, though I walk in the stubbornness of my mind and heart, bringing down a hurricane of destruction and sweep away the watered land with the dry.' The Lord will not pardon him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall settle on him. The Lord will blot out his very name from under the heavens. And the Lord will single him out for ruin and destruction from all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the next generation, your children who rise up after you, and the foreigner who shall come from a distant land, shall say, when they see the plagues of this land and the diseases with which the Lord has made it sick, 'The whole land is brimstone and salt and a burned waste, not sown or bearing anything, where no grass can take root, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah with Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and wrath. Even all the nations shall say, why has the Lord done thus to this land? What does the heat of this great anger mean? Then men shall say, because they forsook the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods they knew not, and that he had not given to them. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, bringing upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land, as it is this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, we find one of the most interesting and really profound segments of scripture that apply to our lives today as much as they applied to the Israelites who were hearing those words spoken by Moses. During this reading of Deuteronomy chapter 28, I hope you were imagining all the curses and all the blessings that you heard and how they would actually operate in someone's life. It is a fascinating read, to be sure. But how appropriate it is for us to discuss this today, because we find that both blessings and curses are operational today in people's lives. Maybe you think, well, curses, that's just like fairy tales or stories about witches or the Middle Ages or something like this. But the truth is that we live in a spiritual world. We also live in a very material world, but they are both operating simultaneously. The material world you can touch, you can feel, you can sense with the sense of smell, with the sense of sight, and yet the invisible spiritual world is every bit as alive and operational as the material world, but you cannot see it or taste it or smell it with natural senses. There are things happening in that spiritual world that are very real, and they affect the material world, which is exactly what was described here in Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you remember, there is a very clear statement by the Lord through Moses as to how both blessings and curses will operate in a person's lives. The first two verses tell us how a blessing will come upon a person's life. It says, if, and that's a commandment with a condition, if you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. How would you like to be overtaken by blessings? Do you know that that is literally the will of God for your life? That's what God desires for his people. God loves to bless people, but he has a system for the blessing to come upon your life. And it's very clearly stated here. If you will listen diligently to the voice of God and then be careful to do what he says. So it's two parts. You have to listen, you have to seek it out. And in fact, the original language literally means if you will listen, listening, it's like a double imperative. It gives you this idea of how important it is. If you will really listen very diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and be careful to do what it is that he commands you, then all these blessings that were just described will come on you, come upon your life, and not only that, they'll literally overtake you. And that is very powerful. And there's no doubt that every single person listening to my voice desires the blessings that are described here, because they actually cover every area of life that we deal with each and every single day. Think about it. It talks about the blessings on your physical body. One of the biggest things, or you should say the highest amount of money spent in the United States, and I'm sure in other countries as well, but I can speak for our nation, that it one of the greatest expenses is healthcare in our country. Whether people are spending their money on medicine, doctors, hospitalization, or whatever, the reality is that sickness and disease is something that robs people of not only their health, but also their finances. So one of the biggest blessings that's noted here in Deuteronomy 28 has to do with health. Several of these refer to that, not only physical health, but also mental health. And that is a very important thing as well, because people spend so much money on anti-anxiety medications and the like that we know that in our country, mental health issues are very prominent. So along with the blessing of health, there's the blessing noted of prosperity. It talks about, blessed shall you be your basket and your kneading trough. It literally is a reference to, blessed shall be what you're doing right at the moment, the money you have in your wallet, as well as the money that's being produced and put in the bank. I mean, it talks about blessing financially on your storehouse and in all that you undertake. So what you've saved up and what you're doing right now to receive income. So it talks about financial prosperity. The blessings cover health, prosperity of your health. It also talks about the blessing upon your children. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. You want to see your children blessed. There's no doubt that every good parent desires to see their children blessed beyond what they have been blessed in life. And many, many parents work so hard to put them in good schools so that they will have a blessing in their life, be able to get a good job when they graduate and those sorts of things. But all of these are dealt with here in this list of blessings. It talks about being blessed in the city, blessed in the field, and all the things that you undertake. Blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Blessed, you'll receive the blessing of having your enemies that come against you defeated before your face. So many areas of blessing. The blessing of victory in everything that you put your hand to. And then it talks about blessing on the very land that you have. Blessed all the work of your hands, and you'll end up lending because you'll have so much money, not borrowing. And so again, a reference to financial blessing. And one of my favorites, the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. And that's how the blessings end. So it's an idea of having prominence in life and not being dragged around by your circumstances, like a tail is dragged around, but the head moves forward, makes decisions, and there's leadership and there's prominence there that's spoken of by that blessing. So there's amazing. It touches every area of your life, your personal health, your personal finances, your family, your prominence in work, and every other good thing is listed here in these blessings in Deuteronomy 28 from verses 3 through verse 13. And then we end up with an even lengthier list of curses that come upon people who refuse to obey the voice of God and aren't careful to listen, aren't careful to watch and do what the Lord commands. That list is much more extensive and specific than even the list of blessings. And this covers, again, the area of finances. It covers the area of health. It covers the area of mental health. It talks about children being taken into captivity right before your eyes and you can't do anything about it. That speaks to me today of what many people have seen in our generation of their children going into captivity to drugs and not being able to do anything about it, seeing it with their eyes, but being unable to affect any resolution to that horrible bondage of being a drug addict or addicted to alcohol. And those things are listed, literally, your children going into captivity, curses upon your finances, upon your land, upon being robbed every which way. The list is extensive, as you will recall. And it says you'll be cursed in the city and cursed in the field. Basically, it doesn't matter where you go, you'll receive curses. And those run from verse 16 in Deuteronomy 28 through, I think, almost verse 68. And it is just an amazing and horrifying, actually, list of how the curse will operate against a person who refuses to honor God, to pursue God, to obey God. And that is a very heavy thought. Your life shall hang in doubt before you, it says. Day and night you shall be worried and have no assurance of your life. Talking about fear and trembling of heart and failing of eyes and fainting of mind and languishing of spirit and never having any rest. It is a list that is just horrifying to me of the life that is described here of the person who doesn't want to obey or listen to the Lord. So these are very powerful words found here in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I want to say this to you. Tomorrow, in our reading tomorrow, when we cover Deuteronomy chapter 30, we find out, and I'm bringing it up today because it applies to what we're talking about. We find out very clearly that God Himself tells the people that I put before you today life and blessing and death and cursing. Choose life. So He gives a very clear statement to the children of Israel that they have a choice about this matter right here, about having a life of blessing or having a life that is cursed and horrifying to live. And yet He exhorts them, choose life, choose blessing, choose what I would design for you. And God would design blessing for your life. God would design that your family be blessed, your health be blessed, your children be blessed, your work be blessed. But the way that comes about has to do with a relationship with God where we are pursuing diligently the voice of the Lord and obeying Him. Now, if it was up to us, and let's just be honest here, if it was up to us, even though we would desire to obey God, it would be essentially, because of our human sinful nature, impossible for us to obey God perfectly. And if it was dependent upon our perfect obedience, there would not be a single person who would be able to claim and experience the blessings that are listed here in Deuteronomy chapter 28. So what are we to do? Well, we are to look to the one who has taken the curses upon Himself and brought the blessing upon our lives through faith, and that would be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible is found in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, where it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So there are two things I want to point out from that scripture. First of all, that we don't have to fear these curses coming upon our lives, because if you have placed your trust in Christ, if you have believed on Him as your Lord and Savior, and you've confessed with your mouth that He is Lord and Savior of your life, then you can take hold of this promise that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And this, what we've just read, Deuteronomy 28, those curses, those are the curse of the law. The law was, if you don't obey God, these things will come upon your life. That was the law Moses was giving them right then and there. If you disobey the law of the Lord, these curses come upon your life. If you listen diligently and are watchful to do all His commandments, these blessings come upon you. But we know that humans, as human beings, we can't do everything perfectly. We will break the laws of God, even in our minds or day by day. And yet we have this amazing promise from the Lord that if we place our trust in Christ, that we have the assurance that Christ has redeemed us. The word redeemed means ransomed. You've been taken captive. I've been taken captive into sin, and we should receive the results of those sins in our lives, which would be all these curses because we've broken God's law, and yet Christ came along, and through his death on the cross, he paid the ransom that ransomed you from the bondage of sin and the results or consequences that should come upon your life. So you don't have to receive the curses that come from disobeying God. You do have to repent. That's part of our relationship with the Lord, because Jesus instructs us through the New Testament in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, so you've broken the law of God, then confess it to the Lord. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise for the New Testament believer. And so it applies to this situation. We don't have to receive the curses because we now are in a relationship with God where we can go to God and say, Father, forgive me. I see I've sinned in this area. I've thought this evil thought. I've said these evil things. I've done this wickedness. I ask you to forgive me. And we can be restored to relationship with the Father in a moment through repentance and through our faith that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, and that Christ forgives when we ask him to forgive us. So we have this beautiful New Testament blessing and relationship that puts us in a position to receive the blessings and be shielded from the curses. Now, to those of you who may bring this objection by saying, well, this was totally written to the Israelites back in the time of Moses, and it does not apply to us today, allow me to reiterate what was said here in Galatians 3, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It said that Christ redeemed us from the curse that's listed here in Deuteronomy 28 in order that the blessing of Abraham, so the spiritual father of all the Israelites and our spiritual father according to the New Testament, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. So those of you who are non-Jews, which includes myself and many, many other people listening to my voice, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. We were made partakers of the blessing that was spoken here to the Israelites. We were made partakers of that blessing through Christ Jesus. We were made spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham through Christ Jesus. That's what the Word of God tells us. So you don't have to worry that this was written only to the Israelites, because in fact, as we read today, it said that this wasn't written only for the ones of that generation, but all those who would come after, which is a very powerful statement, that this was actually for the future generations as well, which we read. But though with future Israelites who do not stand here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with those who are here with us this day, it is not only with you that I make this covenant. So those are the words of Deuteronomy 29, so in verses 14 and 15. So we need to not be caught up in that. That is not a reality. These do apply to us today. Those who believe in Christ are believers in Christ Jesus, have received Christ as Savior, and we are spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham and the spiritual seed of Abraham, our father in faith. And so these blessings listed in Deuteronomy 28 belong to us as well. But we have to be people who seek the Lord, who listen to the voice of the Lord, and who are watchful to do his commandments. And then when we realize we've broken a commandment or broken faith with the Lord in some way, that we go to the Lord and we do confess our sins and we ask for forgiveness and we take hold of the truth that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, and we don't have to be under any curse. Now, maybe you have listened to this list of the curses listed here in Deuteronomy 28 and you thought, oh my, I actually have some of that happening in my life. If you have had continual sickness, continual disease, continual robbery of your finances, continually not the head, but instead you're always the tail, that you're continually having disasters coming upon your life, there really might be a curse operating in your life that you haven't realized, and you can be free from it. There are ways to be released, and I'm going to go through those quickly with you here. And if you know there's something that you've never been able to get free of, something that just continues to harass you, whether it's financial loss or health loss of your health continuously, or harassment of your children constantly, then you need to ask the Holy Spirit, is there a curse operating in my life and I don't realize that I've allowed that in my life? God wants to free you today. So I'm going to lead you in a very simple steps to being released from any curse that operates in your life. Because if you will recall from our prior reading that there are times that these curses come upon the succeeding generations, not just the person themselves. And that could be happening in your life. Maybe it's generational curse because of the sins of forefathers. We can break that, because if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, the Lord doesn't want you being underneath a curse or a curse operating in your life. But most often, it's a case of our own doing. We don't realize that we've opened the door to a curse operating in our lives. For example, if you will recall, there were multiple exhortations in the readings that we've done the last few weeks where the Lord instructed Moses to tell the people of Israel not ever to bring anything into their lives, their homes, their tents, that was representative of false gods, idols, anything that the heathen in the area that they were going through worshipped as gods into their homes. And I have seen many, many Christians who have brought artwork into their houses that are clearly representative of some idol from some other culture. Maybe they traveled widely and they picked up some of these art objects. They consider them art objects from these foreign nations and bring them into their house. And they don't realize what they just did clearly violated scripture completely. And it literally brought with it a curse on their home, because those are things God's forbidden. So I've seen this often in people's houses and thought they don't have any revelation that they can bring a curse into their home with these statues of false gods or paintings that depict demonic type things, because they don't have revelation that that violates one of God's very strict orders or commandments to his people. So that's one way that a person can bring a curse on their life and not realize it, and yet they are believers and they love God and worship on Sunday, etc., and yet they have a curse operating in their lives. Another way, very clearly, is unforgiveness in your life. There's no doubt that there are many believers who would confess Christ as Lord who have been hurt deeply by someone else and have been unable to forgive that person. That alone will bring a curse into your life that God himself cannot take away without your repenting or forgiveness of that person. So we'll talk about that in a moment in our prayer. And then just recognizing the reality and the truth of the Word of God, that Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, that you don't have to be under the curse, that you take hold of that by faith from Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14, and that you refuse to embrace curses or death upon your life, but you choose life and blessing according to the Word of God. We have to do that as an act of our will. Sometimes the devil himself will convince a person, well, you deserve it. You did this, and you did that. So the curse that's operating, you deserve it, and it's never going to leave you. That is a lie from the devil trying to keep you in bondage. God himself wants to free you, wants to release you, and wants to have the blessings listed in Deuteronomy 28 be the mark of your life. And if you want that and you're ready to refuse death and the curse and embrace life and blessing as the Word of God instructs us here, as God himself instructed his people in Deuteronomy, then today let's do that. Let me just lead you very quickly through this, and then you can pray for yourself in this way. The first thing is to confess your faith in Christ and in his sacrifice on your behalf, that you believe it. I believe you're the Son of God, and you are the only way to God, and that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. That's number one, because to receive the benefits and the blessings, we have to make our confession according to the Word of God, which says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. So we have that position where Christ is our Lord. Second thing to do is repent of any rebellion or sin in your life that you know about. And you have to just say, Lord, I give up. I give up the rebellion to you. I confess my sin to you. I submit myself to you. I don't want to be that rebellious person that's talked about in Deuteronomy 28 that ends up receiving curses. I choose to turn my back on rebelling against you, Lord. And confess any specific sin that the Lord brings to your mind that maybe you've been clinging to. And I love what Derek Prince said. He said, a person who has truly repented no longer argues with God. And I know many believers, church-going people, who are still arguing with God about a specific thing that they want to continue to do, but God has said not to do. If you've really repented, you've stopped arguing with God about what his word says. So maybe there's an area in your life you've been holding on to. Maybe you've been living with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and you know that in God's eyes that is wrong. You can't argue with God about it anymore. You need to repent, which means turn and go in the other direction. Stop and turn and go in another direction and say, Father, forgive me. Give me the grace to walk away from this sin. Let me put myself in alignment with you, and therefore I will be open to the blessings of God in my life and stop bringing curses into my life. That is very important. The third thing is simply to ask the Lord to show you if there's anything occultic or satanic or representing something from the satanic realm that's in your home that you've held on to. It might be music. It might be a picture. It might be a sculpture. If that is the case, you need to get rid of that. Break that thing. Destroy that thing. Burn that thing. Don't even if it was handed down to you from your grandfather, don't hold on to that, because it's laid you open to curses operating in your life. Maybe somebody brought something as a gift for you from a foreign country, and it absolutely represents the kingdom of darkness. Get rid of it. Break it. Burn it. Don't give it to somebody else. Just destroy it and say, Lord, I choose blessing instead of curse. And in obedience to your word, I'm removing this out of my life. The next thing to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to show you if you have unforgiveness in your heart toward anyone else who's ever wronged you. Forgive. And I've had so many people tell me, I can't forgive. I can't forgive. This wound is too great. Well, here's the simple truth of the matter. You don't have a choice if you want to have the blessing of God in your life. Mark 11:25, Jesus himself said these words. He said, if you expect to have your prayers answered by God, like to be blessed instead of cursed, you have only one choice. It says this in Mark 11:25, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Bottom line, God will forgive you as you forgive others. It's as if you owed God $1,000,000 and someone owed you $1,000. And God said, I'm going to tear up the IOU for the $1,000,000 when you tear up the IOU that person owes you for $1,000. Now, obviously, it's in your best interest to tear up the $1,000 IOU in order to receive God's forgiveness of the $1,000,000 IOU. Isn't that true? It's the same with forgiveness. You may not feel like it, but choose to do it. It's an act of your will. It's a choice, not a feeling. Don't worry about feeling forgiving. Just say, God, I choose as an act of my will to forgive that person, and I put them in your hands, and I ask you to deal with them, and I will not hold this sin against them any longer. I give them to you. If you will do that one simple thing, God can release you from the curse that has come upon you as a direct result of unforgiveness, because unforgiveness is a violation of God's commandment to forgive. And then lastly, you're now, if you've done those things, you're ready to pray for to be released from any curse, and we can do this together. And I'll just have you repeat after me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe according to your word in Galatians chapter 3, that you took on yourself every curse that is described here in Deuteronomy 28. And I ask you now to release me from every curse over my life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith, I receive my freedom from every curse. I thank you for it, and I will give you all the glory. Thank you for turning my life around and opening my life up to the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. Thank you that I'm going to be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Thank you that the fruit of my body and the fruit of my ground and the fruit of my work will be blessed. Thank you that my finances will be blessed. Thank you that my health is now blessed. Thank you that you're giving me the blessing of victory against every person who's ever come against me. Thank you, God, for prospering me because of your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you this week in an extraordinary way and show you that he really has made you the head and not the tail, and that he's making you to be above only and not beneath because of the goodness of the Lord, and not because of anything you've done, but because of the truth that God's redeemed us from the curse of the law and brought blessing upon us. We look forward to hearing from you. You can contact us at our email, info@myeverydaybible.com. Write to us. Let us know how you're enjoying our broadcast. God bless you this week in an extraordinary way.